Good.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to the House Committee on Higher Education, Innovation, Workforce Development. Wednesday, April 22nd. We have I don't know if we're going to be able to do it, but all three Senate bills are currently in our possession, are on the agenda today. So we'll see if we can get through all of them. I'll start with a public hearing on Senate Bill 219. Victoria, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 219 directs the appropriations for public universities and Oregon Health and Science University to Higher Education Coordinating Commission rather than Department of Administrative Services. It requires majority approval of HEC members for official action, declares an emergency, and is effective on passage.
A grand total of one person who has signed up. Ms. Richardson, please.
Good morning, Chair Reed, Vice Chair Scott-Agos, and WISNET members of the committee. For the record, Dana Richardson, Deputy Director for Legislative and Policy Affairs at the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. I'm here today to speak to Senate Bill 219. I think this is a straightforward bill. A couple components were suggested by DAS with regard to appropriations for public universities and for OHSU. Right now, it's clear that the HEC has responsibility for allocating funds to the public universities, but it's not clear when the legislature makes an appropriation that it comes to the HEC. So it was suggested that that be clarified in statute. With regard to the Oregon Health and Sciences University, right now their appropriation goes to DAS and then to OHSU. The recommendation in this bill is that it go to the HEC for direct appropriation. That's what the statute says. It doesn't allow the HEC to change the appropriation for OHSU. It's just the route that it takes to get to them. The third component of the bill is a little different. It doesn't have to do with appropriations. It has to do with the number of commission members that it would take to take official action. Right now, in statute, a majority of a quorum of our commission could take action. That's not unique in state government.
You said majority or a quorum?
A majority of a quorum.
Thank you.
Could take official action. So we feel like we want a majority of the members of the commission broadly to be required to take official action rather than a majority of quorum, which is the current requirement. So this bill would kind of raise that bar. And given the, you know, the dollars that we allocate and that sort of thing, we think a higher bar makes sense. So that's the three things the bill would do. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Questions? Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mrs. Richardson, is this the way? Did it go through OUS before? Did it go directly to OSHU, the money?
Mr. Chair and Vice Chair Wisnett, when the Oregon University system was in place, the OHSU appropriation still went through DAS to go to OHSU for direct appropriation.
They're not a part of OUS.
Right.
So that, just to follow up on that question, they'll come to you, Representative Newman. It does make me wonder, you were clear in saying the HEC can't change something. So help me understand the rationale for saying it should, if there's no change that can happen at HEC, why not go directly to OHSU?
My understanding is that, Mr. Chair, my understanding is it has to go through an agency such as DAS because they're a public, they're a quasi.
Okay.
So it needs to run through some entirely government, you know, related agency.
Got it. Okay.
That which helps. Is why it ran through DAS before, because it was the most logical place for that to happen, I guess.
Got it. Thank you. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Chair Reed. Ms. Richardson, how is money appropriated to universities now, like to U of O or something like that? Does it just go through HEC like that?
Mr. Chair and Representative Newman, yes. It just, there's nothing that says when you all make an appropriation where it goes, but in fact it is coming to the HEC.
So the bill is essentially codifying what's currently happening.
Correct.
Representative Newman?
So there's no kind of oversight that HEC will really have as a function of this bill over OHSU, right? I mean, you're not getting any new authority. It's just the money's just flowing through you.
Mr. Chair and Representative Newman, that's correct, although I will say we're becoming the agency that will put in their KPMs as well, I think, because
Pass it real quick.
We don't set their KPMs, we don't do their KPMs, but there's the system that I think will be responsible for putting the information in.
For collecting the data and putting it in there then? Right. Okay, all right.
That's it.
Looks
Thank you.
I could, Mr. Chair, I would just note on the Senate side, OHSU submitted a letter of support. I don't know if they've done that to this committee, but it is still available on OLS, and the bill is not changed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can, let's see if we have anything in the meeting materials tab. Computer is not responding very quickly. Is there anyone else who wants to testify on Senate Bill 219? I don't see anyone. It does look like we have a few pieces of information, although I don't see the letter from...
It's not there.
Oh, where, there it is. Janet Billups, the next to last item. looking on it. Yeah, there is the letter from Janet Billups.
Yeah.
Dated February 17th. Okay, so we're going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 219 and move to a public hearing on Senate Bill 240. Victoria, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 240 authorizes the State Apprenticeship and Training Council to make exceptions to apprentice wage schedule, journey worker hourly wage rate, or minimum ratio of journey workers to apprentices to accommodate Oregon Youth Authority training programs and apprenticeship. Declares emergency as effective on passage.
Thank you. Ms. Kirk from the Oregon Youth Authority, please. And you brought someone with you. Unfortunately, I don't have you on my list. I would have called you otherwise.
Sorry.
My name. No, it's no problem.
Good morning. My name is Christine Kirk, and I'm from the Oregon Youth Authority. I am the Government Relations and Public Policy Manager, and with me is Matthew Brandt, our supervising electrician within the Oregon Youth Authority.
Welcome.
We're here to voice our support for Senate Bill 240. This would allow us to develop apprenticeship programs within the Oregon Youth Authority. The Department of Corrections currently has the same exemptions within the law, and we are trying to match the exemption that the Department of Corrections has so we can begin to develop similar programs to what they have been able to do. We are limited in terms of what types of programs we would be able to have because, of course, we are talking about doing programs within institutions, and so the work that we would do has to be appropriate for the setting. And so initially, we would like to start with electrical work, and Matthew will be able to speak to the benefits of that work and how we're structured to be able to do that.
Very good. Mr. Brandt, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Chair Reed, representatives. What this bill can do for us...
Sorry, if you could introduce yourself for the record, too, that'd be great.
I'm Matthew Brandt. I'm supervising electrician for the Oregon Youth Authority.
Thanks.
And what this bill can do for us will allow youth to do electrical work inside of our facilities. Currently in the state of Oregon, you have to be licensed to do electrical work. And what this will do is allow them to do the work with us inside the facilities. And by gaining this apprenticeship, it will allow them to count electrical hours and gain a state electrical license, which will allow them to gain employment outside of the agency when they're released. Even if they do not complete this program with us, any hours they do accumulate will count towards another apprenticeship within the state of Oregon and will allow them to make gainful employment upon their release.
Very good. That's a very simple explanation. I appreciate it. Are there any questions?
Yeah, I'm working.
Representative Johnson.
I'll start if you'd
okay.
like.
Yeah, I'll formulate my thoughts.
Okay. I'll formulate your thoughts. We had a nice visit yesterday
yes.
in my office about this program. I think this has great potential to yeah. do some really good work for young people who, for whom skill building is very important and may not always be available just because of the circumstances that they're finding themselves in.
Yeah.
I am very interested in these hours actually having some value when the student exits the program or exits the institution and then can go on into an apprenticeship program. The details of how that path works, I think we'll learn more about as time mm-hmm. goes on as this
yeah.
program develops. I know the Oregon Corrections System is already doing this. It's a little different when it's young people, but there's so much... work being done right now in that seamless path. I think this has great merit. How those hours actually get calculated and moved is something. If you could elaborate on it, would be helpful for me. How is this overseen by a supervisory system that's going to allow those hours to move, I guess. I said that very ineloquently, I'm sorry, but I think did you get the gist?
Okay. I do. Chair Reed, Representative McGowan. The way these hours are counted is Oregon LBME is a private company in the state of Oregon that operates this training program. And how hours are counted is every month the apprentice fills out a form with all of their documented hours. It's signed by whoever they're working with, whether it be me or another electrician. Those are sent to Oregon LBME. They keep record of this, and they actually send these to the state of Oregon Building Codes. So Building Codes keeps a record of all of the documented hours. So even when they leave us, they were able to go through Oregon Building Codes and show proof of all of their hours. And it works the same for all apprenticeships.
If I may interject for just a second, Chair and Representative, LBME is Limited Building Maintenance Electrician Program. So one of the really wonderful things that we have is that we have journeyman electricians within the Oregon Youth Authority, and by chance, we have one, if not two, if I'm correct, two that serve on the Oregon LBME board. And so we have a real opportunity to bring this to the Youth Authority with, I think, a high level of confidence that we will succeed because we have staff already who know exactly what it is. The Oregon LBME program is a 2,000-hour electrical program. There are other apprenticeships that are 4,000, 6,000, 8,000. We're starting at our goal is to start at a 2,000-hour program. It is a very well-established program. It is connected to a private entity, so it is not something that we would be setting up on our own. We have a lot of support in connecting to another entity who is doing it across the state, and so that's a benefit to us while we're learning and getting trying to figure this out. There are lots of other apprenticeship programs. We just know that we have the ability to complete 2,000 hours in the electrical area. Other areas we will pursue as we become aware and believe we can be successful in the training components.
Follow up.
Thank you, Chair Reed. So I guess I'm wondering how specific is this training? What I'm trying to get at is if the student exits your program and they have 2,000 hours of LBME credit, can they then take that and apply to a 4,000-hour apprenticeship program for electrical workers? And how would those be judged or valued if they were trying to enter a different type of an apprenticeship program that had some common theme? I mean, I guess, how broadly can these hours be used?
Sure, Chair and Representative. These hours are all counted in different categories. So when you work your 2,000 hours, there's different categories that, for, say, electric work, like light fixtures and receptacles and that kind of thing. They're counted in individual areas. So if that applies towards, say, an 8,000-hour journeyman apprenticeship, they will know exactly what hours they've worked. And all of those hours may not count. They may bring them in that apprenticeship. You're still going to have to basically start from the beginning, but it will show that they have job experience, and it will show that they already have some experience in some areas, and they can actually credit those hours towards your next apprenticeship.
Right. Mostly,
it shows that they have job experience. It shows that they have a year of job experience. And for an electrical program, the journeyman program in the state of Oregon now, you have to show 6 months of some type of construction experience, whether it be electrical or otherwise, and this proves that actually have job experience coming out of a correctional facility.
One for follow-up. Thank you. That helps me very much. I just wanted to make sure that this isn't so limited in scope that it's not going to help them move on once they exit. So thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Brandt, tell me about the type of projects. They're primarily maintenance-type stuff. Is that right? Like new commercial construction? Just help me understand what kind of projects these are that these students would be helping out.
Sure. Chair and Representative, this is all maintenance work. This license was designed specifically for maintenance work. So, and the type of work we do in our facilities is probably 95% that. We don't do a lot of our own new projects, and we don't do any of the new construction that's always hired out to the public.
Okay.
But everything we do day-to-day can count towards this license.
Okay. So in addition to the 2,000 hours, there's also classroom time as well, I would guess, right?
Correct.
And how much of that is there?
The program right now consists of, to start the program, you have to take 2 8-hour OSHA-certified classes, and then you take 12 three- or four-hour classes throughout a two-year period. And Oregon LBME has their own instructors, mm-hmm. and they can be brought on our site to train those classes.
Okay. So just one other follow-up then. So if a student gets close to 2,000 hours or whatever, but elects then for whatever reason to want to change into a different trade, i.e. masonry, so that those hours would still apply towards that, or would they have to, would there be other specific requirements for that trade that would be outside of electrical?
Right, there would be specifics to that trade.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. So I may be missing something obvious in the bill. The description you're offering of what's currently happening sounds good, sounds very good. And yet the bill essentially says that the council can make exceptions to the rules for the youth authority in addition to what's already there in statute for the Department of Corrections. So what functionally is changing once the bill
Certainly.
Is passed?
Chair Reed, members of the committee, what we're speaking to is largely what we'd like to do. And so what we are currently doing within the facilities is we do have electricians and others who do work, and our youth go and help. They are not able to perform the level of work that they would be allowed to if they were in a program, and they do not receive any of the classroom training. They are also not able to obtain credit, like this in terms of the job skills and going to someone saying, hey, I did this work. It's not recognized because it's not within a program. So the bill itself just allows us to apply to the Bureau of Labor Industries. As you can see, we are really excited to get started, and we have a goal in mind of what we believe we can do successfully initially as we enter this new world.
Got it. So really, this is just an endorsement of how detailed and far along the plan is.
Yes.
We're talking about it as if it's already happening.
Right.
When it's going to, we hope, but not quite
Correct.
There yet.
Mm-hmm. We're very excited.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Representative Gallegos.
Thank you, Terry. No, that sounds very exciting. I'm just curious, what other, your curriculum, what other models are you basing this on, or other states doing this, other agencies?
Chair Reed and Representative Gallegos, the Department of Corrections currently has a large number of programs, and they actually have an 8,000-hour electrical program. We would, in time, pursue if we can complete that. Our length of stay is shorter than the Department of Corrections, and so we believe we have the work to do, but we would have to assess, do we have the length of stay within a facility to be able to accomplish that. The other areas, some we know we can't do. We would not be able to do what Department of Corrections does on welding because we do not have the same level of work within our institutions. Beyond that, we are working actually with our private partners in the community to say what are the apprenticeships and where are the programs in particular for women that we should be thinking of? How is it that we can begin to think about building those sorts of apprenticeships programs? If it isn't necessarily within our facility, we may be very limited by the amount of work, and our girls in particular are at one facility. Then how could we connect them in the community to do that? So I think that this partnership is beyond just what we can do, but how can we better work with the partners in the community for our youth to have access? The Department of Corrections is primarily our lead in understanding what's doable within a facility, a correctional facility.
Thank you.
Representative McEwen.
Oh, thank you, Chair Reed. Can you give me a sense of how many students are under the purview, or how many young people are under the purview of OIA, and how many could be impacted by this? What's your target goal for how many students you can put in a program like this?
Certainly, Chair and Representative. We have over 600 youth that are within correctional facilities. One of the things is that our youth obviously are in various ages, is that youth that would be in an apprenticeship program would have had to have completed a high school diploma. And so that would eliminate about half or portion of those youth. And then that length of stay is a really big mm-hmm. component. And so that this would be probably offered more to the over 300 youth we have that are Department of Corrections youth, meaning they are with us for a long period of time. But with those are the sorts of things we have to assess, is exactly who and how many could benefit in total. The original electrical program, we believe between 10 and 20 youth could benefit. But part of what we need to determine is that how can we move youth within the system? Because there's a lot of work at McLaren. It's a big facility. But others may not. So can we bring youth together for the classroom training? And then how can we work on making sure they can get the hands-on work? We have the journeyman electricians to do the training in the facilities. It's just how do we move youth around to be able to access? And I want to reiterate on the girl component, our young ladies, we really would like to find an avenue to provide more opportunities for our young women in vocational and apprenticeship opportunities. So we will be really focused on what can we do there.
So this is a program that they would not have access to under the current circumstances, is that correct, or would they?
We have to assess that. Excuse me, Chair and Representative. We have to assess that. Within that facility, there is a certain amount of work. It would become to the number of youth. There's a handful of Department of Corrections youth there. We do have sometimes clinic, some work opportunities where we bring girls to the Hillcrest currently. And so we'll have to ask those questions about moving youth around.
Interested to have a follow-up on that?
I would love to talk to you about it. Thank you.
Like we've taken care of all the questions. Thank you very much
Thank
for your
you.
Testimony. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on Senate Bill 240? I don't see anyone. So I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 240 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 686. Victoria.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 686A permits individual enrolled in alternative education program to be considered out-of-school youth for purposes of Federal Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act of 2014.
Thank you. So we had thought we might be hearing from Karen Hummelbaugh. I don't see her in the audience. So, Dana, we might be looking to you. No? Okay. So the good news is, we as I mentioned earlier, we had the grand total of three Senate bills. Jeez. So we can
we can
wait a little bit and find out the next the right person to testify on Senate Bill 686 at our future meeting, unless there's someone here who's ready to testify on that. I don't see anyone. So we will bring that one back at a future meeting and make sure we have the right person here to testify on that. So I close the hearing on Senate Bill 686. We've now had public hearings on all the Senate bills. So
is that workforce and education?
Very efficiently done, Chair Reed.
They got two committees, right?
It's the only ones that we have currently. I hope that they will send some more to us and we'll have some more substantive work to do on bills. We're going to have more conversation, I think, in the informational phase of things. Representative Wisnett and I have been talking about a few ideas, but I would welcome other comments and other ideas that that all of you have. Representative Gallegos?
Representative Johnson.
Sorry, Representative Johnson. I couldn't tell. Got a tap on the elbow. I
wasn't sure. Mr. Chair, would it be your assumption that any apprenticeship-related bills would come to this committee?
I think I would be interested in that conversation for sure. I understand that there are. I haven't checked in the last week or so that some of the Senate work on apprenticeship was headed to Ways and Means. That may be dated information. Mm-hmm. I haven't confirmed that of late. I think if it doesn't go to Ways and Means, mm-hmm. This committee would be a likely destination.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So keep your eyes and ears open for informational hearings that we ought to take on. We are not going to meet on Friday
or Monday.
So we will. I hope you'll enjoy that time. We'll be back on Wednesday for an informational hearing
at
8:30. And unless there's anything else to come before the committee today, we'll see you next Wednesday.
Excellent.
Thank you.
We're adjourned.
Excellent.
Thank you. We're adjourned.
Excellent.
Very great.
Excellent.